About a year ago, my family and I joined the Dighton family. We came alongside the Cadillac Church plant, ReChurch, for a season of learning and growing until just this past January, where, because we have started a church plant venture of our own. And so that's what we're up to right now. I live in Traverse City. Our church plant is in Rapid City, which is just outside of Kalkaska, if you don't know where that is. So that's what we're up to now. So just giving you a little background on myself. And it is an absolute privilege to be here with you today. What you don't know is that when we came a year ago, my husband and I had been looking for a place that felt like home. It'd been a while since we'd been in a congregation that really felt like home. And from the moment we stepped in the door, we felt like home here. So thank you. It really is a great, great privilege to be here with you today. This morning, we're going to be talking about growing into your calling. And before we begin talking about that, let's define what calling means. A calling is how we live out our purpose. So it's more than, our purpose is the thing that's that we're created to do. God has created all of us with a specific purpose, and he has a plan for us. But the calling is how we live that out. And so sometimes our calling can change and develop. And so therefore we can grow into our calling. But our first calling is that call of salvation. It's a calling to know Jesus and to follow him. Jesus has come for us. He came to earth. And that was one of the first things when we're introduced to Jesus and his ministry. What the first thing he does is he begins calling people to him. He calls Peter and James and John to come and to follow him. And that's what they did. They followed him right up until that very moment that he died on the cross. And they were devastated. And then 3 days later, he comes back to life and they rejoiced. And they knew then that salvation could be found in him alone. And then on the day of Pentecost, which we just celebrated, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it is that sense that we get to know Jesus. So I just want to encourage you, if you're here today and you don't know who this Jesus is that we're talking about, who we're singing about, that one that's in the fire with us, that's in the waves with us, the one who we can call out to when we are feeling troubled and when we don't know where else to turn, if you do not know him, Jesus is saying to you today, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you a peace that surpasses all your understanding. And in him is when we really begin to understand our purpose, where we are then freed from sin and all these things of life that entangle us, that keep us from understanding and fulfilling our purpose. That purpose to which God has created us for, that number one purpose is to know him and to love him and to have freedom in him, because he enjoys us and he wants us to enjoy him too. And then once we come to know Jesus, we become a part of the body of Christ. We all become one big family. That's why when I walked through those doors last year, this felt like family. And as part of the body of Christ, we are all called. We're all called to a specific purpose. we're called to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission. The great commandment is what Jesus says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor, to love others as you love yourself. So we grow in a relationship with God. We come to know him, not just one time, not just know about him, but know him in an intimate relationship. Our love will grow with him. And the second, the great commission, is to go and to make disciples. Jesus gives that as the last command before he ascends into heaven in our Gospels. And so we have those things. That's the mission. The Great Commission is the mission. It's the mission that Jesus has set aside for the church to do, all of us. All of us are called to it. It is the mission to go, make, baptize, and teach. And that's what he invites us into. But here's the thing. We each have a unique way of contributing, both as individuals and as congregations of believers. This is our unique calling. That's how we live out. The calling is how we live out that purpose. Before I go any farther, I just want to take a moment before we turn and open up the scripture. Let's take a moment and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for the privilege that it is to be here today, that not only are we celebrating the freedom that we have in this country and honoring the lives of those who have fought for that freedom, but we are celebrating the freedom that we have in you, the freedom that you give us through your salvation because you fought and died for us. You did something that nobody else could do and give us a freedom that nobody else can give us. And we're thankful for the freedom that we have here to read your word without fear, to live the life of mission with you. His story begins in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and it goes all the way through the beginning of 1 Kings. So it goes through 1 Samuel, all the way through 2 Samuel, and up to the introduction of 1 Kings. So that's a pretty significant, he's a pretty significant character. When we are introduced to him, is one of my very favorite stories. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of background because, I want to encourage you. I can't read all of the scripture. That's just way too much scripture to read to you today. So I'm going to give you a little synopsis of this, right? So Israel wanted a king. They begged for a king. And Saul was anointed as king over the Israelites. The problem is, Saul made some major mistakes, and God said, "I think there's somebody else that is going to be king after Saul." Because Saul broke the covenant. He broke the covenant that he had made with God. And so God sends Samuel to anoint a new king. He goes to the house of Jesse, who has 8 sons. And God says, you're going to find the next king there among Jesse's 8 sons. So Samuel comes up to the first and oldest son and says, surely this is the one. Look, he's big and strong. But God said this. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so Samuel went through the second son, the third son, the fourth son. He gets down to the seventh son, and he says, don't you have any more? Because none of them were it. Oh, yeah, we've got our youngest, the kid out with the sheep, David. And David comes, the youngest of eight, and is anointed as the next king of Israel. And then he just goes back out to the tending sheep. And as he's doing that, his brothers, he's got some older brothers, there's war that's breaking out with Israel, between Israel and the Philistines. And his older brothers are there at the battlefront. And he's home tending his sheep, and his father sends him back and forth to send supplies and to just check in, see how his brothers are doing. He's kind of a glorified delivery boy. And that's where we're going to pick up our story. Our story is coming from 1 Samuel chapter 17. It goes through 1 through 50. I'm not going to read all of the verses. I'm just going to pick out some stuff for you and fill in the blanks. So there's a battle between Israelites and the Philistines. David's at home, and his father wants to send him to the front lines to check on his brothers and to send supplies. But the thing is, at the battle, there's this big, big guy. His name is Goliath. You may have heard of him. I've been thinking that we use his name to describe giant things, right? We say, wow, that's a Goliath size such and such. It's extra, extra large, right? He's kind of famous, I guess. Maybe infamous is a better word. Anyway, he was fairly intimidating to the Israelites, and he came out every single day and said, if you send a guy to come and defeat me, it'll just be one-on-one. If he can beat me, then the Philistines will serve you. But if you lose, you'll have to serve us. But here's the kicker. This is what he said. He would come out and he would yell this, and he would say, this day I defy the army of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. And he defied Israel, and in that he's defying God. He's insulting God is what he's doing. But every time the Israelites and Saul and his army heard it, they were dismayed and terrified. They were completely terrified of this guy. So just every day, this back and forth. He comes out, and they're terrified and hide, I guess. Then David comes along. His father Jesse sends him. And it just so happens that David shows up right at the beginning of the day. And they had just gone out to the battle lines, and Goliath had just comes out. And so he hears Goliath. And of course, David hears him shout this cry, defying God, defying Israel. And he sees everybody flee in fear. So he turns to these people and he says, what's going to be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? But when Eliab, his oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him, and he asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. But what David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And Saul said, "You're not able to go out and fight against this Philistine. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Well, your servant's been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Well, go and the Lord be with you." It's kind of like saying, see you later, right? But then Saul had this idea. Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over the tunic, and he tried walking around because he wasn't used to them. "I can't go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand, approached the Philistine. God calls us. God calls us. God called a young shepherd boy to be the next king of Israel. Yet, as the youngest of 8 sons, he wasn't considered important enough even to be invited to the party. Like, he wasn't even important enough. Because surely they wouldn't choose the youngest, would they? And when the battle broke out between Israelites and the Philistines, he wasn't considered old enough or strong enough, and served as the glorified messenger boy, glorified delivery boy, right? However, when David heard the challenge of the Philistine and their champion Goliath, he was ready to act. Why? Why was he ready? Where did that confidence come from? Nobody else had any confidence in him. He was ready because he had an understanding of who God is. He had a relationship, an understanding that he had developed alone out in the fields, tending his sheep. He had a job to do. And he saw that in fighting the bear and in fighting the lion, how it was God who rescued him from the hand of those wild animals. He built a trust in God. So knowing who it is that calls us gives us an ability to stand firm when we are doubted, when we're looked down on, when we're facing challenges. You see, the most important thing that David learned as a shepherd wasn't how to slay a giant, but was how to trust in God. Because you see, his motives and his ability are questioned. First, he is protested by his brother. I remember this is his oldest brother. So that first one, that very first one, that God says, "Nope, not him, not him." The first one that was passed by Samuel. And then he was questioned and doubted by Saul. Saul says, "You're just a young guy. Who do you think you are?" And he notes that Goliath had training from his youth. And in a kind of one of those underhanded way of pointing out to David, that means you haven't had that kind of training. You're up against something that's much bigger than you are. And these kinds of questions, these kinds of people doubting you and people questioning your motives can become barriers to us fulfilling our purpose and growing into our calling. It can leave people feeling purposeless. It can make someone feel like they've lost their purpose. Or it can even be that they don't understand what that calling is, because their vision of being called is limited. It's limited by what they see on Sunday morning or by what they see portrayed on social media or on TV or wherever you get your information from. We create this little framework and say, well, I don't fit in there, and so I don't understand how it is that I can grow into this calling to fulfill the purpose that God has created me to do and to be. But David gained valuable experience in that inconsequential job, tending sheep. As David recounted his experience of fighting off the bear and the lion, which convinced Saul, to some degree, to let him challenge Goliath. That was valuable experience. But then Saul does something to help David. That's putting these parameters, he tries to fit David into that warrior box by offering him his armor. Now, why wouldn't you want to be helpful? Like, you're sending a guy into the battle and you're the whole, like, whatever, however this battle turned out was going to be the fate of the whole thing, right? So Saul, I believe, was genuinely being helpful. And but David tries on this battle gear and he says, I'm not used to this. What is this? I can't go out like this. I can't move, right? And I want to ask, what about you? How about you? Have you ever been questioned? Have your motives ever been questioned when you're trying to do something that God, you feel called, you feel prepared, you feel ready to do something, and somebody says, what are you doing here? What are your motives in this? Aren't you, you're just here to see all this go down. You're just here to trip somebody else up. Has that ever been you? Have you ever been the one to question somebody else's motives? Has somebody ever offered you some battle gear that just doesn't fit? When you said, hey, I'm going to go plant a church. I've had lots of advice on how to plant a church. The number one piece of advice that people give me is to go to the town coffee shop and hang out and get to know people. And you just kind of use that as your office since you don't have an office yet, which is a really great piece of advice. Except where I'm planting a church, there is no coffee shop. There is no local restaurant that you can go to during the day. There's a bar, but only open at night. There's a gas station that sells coffee, but no place to sit down. See, this thing that's been offered to me is a really great thing, and I know people offer it to me in a helpful spirit, but it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. (Clears throat) Have you been that person? When we come up against those things, we can start to question, like, if that's what you're supposed to do, did God really call me here? Did God really call me to do this thing? What really are my motivations here? Am I really hearing? Did God really say that to me? Is that really what God's calling me to? These things can place doubt in us. But David had no doubt. David knew, not only did David know who it was that called him, because he knew who God was, but he also understood himself. He understood himself. He understood his skills. He knew himself well enough to know, I can't go in these because I'm not used to them. You know, sometimes we grow up with Bible stories, and we hear them over and over again, and I'm sure those of you that have been around the church for a little while have heard the story of David and Goliath. And oftentimes it's portrayed that the armor didn't fit David. That's why he didn't wear it into battle. Which could be true. I mean, Saul was known for being very tall. David was young. Maybe he was a scrawny teenager. I don't know. It could have been true that the armor just didn't fit. But that's not what David says. He doesn't say it doesn't fit. Only that he's not used to it. The Hebrew word is nasa, which means to test out or to try. He wasn't used to this equipment because he hadn't used it before. So he wasn't going to use it now in a time of that's critical. Instead, David, dressed in his shepherd's garb, armed only with a sling and his shepherd's staff, picked up 5 smooth stones and heads into battle with a giant. Knowing ourselves and our experiences gives us wisdom to be comfortable with our own armor. What does this mean for us? It means that we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait until we become used to the armor. I don't have to wait until a coffee shop comes to the place where I can do it now. We don't have to wait. Because that's part of the growing. We're growing into our calling. So we have to keep doing new things, right? And God equips us. Like I said already, David learned some valuable skills while he was in the field with the sheep. He was being equipped already. God equips us and prepares us. He gives us the tools that we need. God uses our personalities, our experiences, and our situations to prepare us for what he calls us into. David was trained for battle in the shepherd's field. Sometimes we don't understand our current situations or how our experience can be put to future use. But when we learn how to trust in God, in every season and in every situation, we will be prepared for whatever comes next. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are God's handiwork. We are his masterpieces, his wonderful creations, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared for us to do in advance." So God is preparing us and he equips us. David picked up 5 smooth stones. He picked them right up off the ground. I could go out here in the parking lot and find 5 smooth stones. They're readily available. They're readily available. And that's when we think about being equipped, God gives us things that are readily available to do the thing. So we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait and sit back and wait for all the conditions to be perfect. We can grow into our calling. David picked up these five smooth stones. He wasn't clad in warrior's armor, but he was equipped with all that he needed. And God gives us the armor of God. And that the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, our feet covered with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. And all of this armor is perfectly fitted to us, but we still have to get used to it. We have to practice it by putting it on every day, by spending time in prayer and spending time in God's word and building that relationship with him. We have perfectly fitted armor. So knowing our tools gives us an advantage that others might not see. Certainly, Saul thought David was not at the advantage. Goliath laughed and said, "Who is this little dog you're sending me?" when he saw David approach. He didn't think he was well equipped. But when God equips us, and when we understand that equipping, when we understand the tools that he gives us, we have an advantage that the enemy will not see coming. And God grows us in that. When we take those steps of faith, when we face the bear and the lion and the giant, seemingly ill-equipped, when we take those steps, he is growing us. He's growing us into our calling. And he continues to grow us. Knowing our calling helps us to grow accustomed to new tools and armor. If you're familiar with the passage, you know that David wins this battle with one perfect shot from his sling. And it says in verse 50, "So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him." But that is not the end of the story. This is only the second chapter, my friends, that David is in. That's in many ways, this is just the beginning of David's story. David didn't go back out to live his days as a shepherd in obscurity. David becomes a mighty warrior and eventually king. And on his way to fulfill the call to be the king, he had to learn how to use a sword. And he had to become accustomed to wearing the armor of a warrior. I've got a little story about my son. I think we've got a picture up here. My son Zoran, when he was a little guy, like most little boys, loved to play dress up. The firefighter was probably his most favorite. And this stage lasted like a really long time. Like he was still, I think he was in second grade before he stopped like dressing up all the time. Here, I think he's only like three. and that little jacket, like he wore it until like he couldn't wear it anymore. But here we see he's got on his grandpa's boots. And then he went to visit. That was like the highlight of the year when he went to visit a real fire station. And he tried on the firefighter's boots. And I remember him at that age and just looking at him and saying, "Oh, how cute. Look at this little guy. Oh, how sweet. Just like all the little boys." But God was doing something in his heart, even then, that I was completely unaware of. I want to show the next slide. This is him, actually a couple years ago. In 2020, he graduated from fire school as a full-fledged firefighter. This year, he has just completed his paramedics training. Previous to that, and while he was in high school, he was a lifeguard. You see, God put that in him, even at that young age. And even though all little boys dress up in some sense, that was something that was, it was a little unusual to go so long. He grew into his calling. God has a purpose for him and created him in a unique way that's given him a heart for this kind of thing. You know, in that first picture, he's got these big boots. He couldn't even walk in them, like they're attached to the pants. He couldn't, I mean, if you notice the look on his face, he was just like, I can't move. It was just like, I could just picture David saying, I can't go out in these. I'm not used to them, right? But look, there he is. He's grown into it. He's wearing the full fledged. I want you to imagine for a minute this guy wearing that little firefighter's coat that he wore when he was 3. that wouldn't fit very well now, would it? See, when we're called, God calls us. Our calling grows with us because he's created us with a plan and a purpose and continues to grow us so we can fulfill that purpose in greater and greater ways. God knows us. He looks at the hearts. He knows us, and he's called us. He's called us to know him, and he's called us to a purpose that's bigger than us. And then when we know Jesus, we are free to follow that purpose. Our identity and our calling are found in him. So God continues to grow us, giving us new opportunities and new tools. Now, David may have slain that giant as a shepherd boy, but he didn't stay that way. He grew and became a great warrior. He didn't go out and battle again with just his sling and his shepherd's staff. He knew how to use a sword. He experienced great victories, but he was also chased into hiding, threatened with under threat for his life. He also had more moral failure and trouble in his family. But every opportunity, every situation was an opportunity to grow, to learn, and to deepen his trust in God. Philippians 2 says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Continue to grow. David was a warrior. He didn't look like one. You may not look like a pastor or a church planter or a spiritual leader. But the Lord does not look at the things that people look at. He doesn't put those parameters on you. You can be a pastor in whatever job that you're doing. You can fulfill that call no matter what it looks like. People look at that outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And he's perfectly formed it. He's given you everything that you need. He equips you for it. That most important thing that David learned is what I want us to continue to learn. It wasn't how to slay that giant. It wasn't how to do that job. It was how to trust in God and how to continue to trust in God again and again and again. As the worship team comes up, I want you to think about a couple of things. Number one, what is your calling? What is it that God has uniquely fitted you for? What is the calling that He is calling you to? And are there any barriers? Are there any boxes that people are trying to put on you to fit? Are there things that are slowing you down or keeping you from growing into that calling? Number two, how is it that you are trusting God? What is it that you need to trust God for? Maybe you don't understand what it looks like to be called where you are, because it doesn't fit the box that you've always seen. It doesn't fit the model. It doesn't look like that great warrior. All you have is a sling and a few stones. Maybe it's you need to stop looking at the, maybe it's you that need to stop looking at the outward appearances and look at the heart of God, because His heart is beating for you. And when we trust in Him, when we continue to trust in Him, even when it doesn't, you're not used to how it looks. I've never seen it like this before. I've never seen this little shepherd boy go up against a giant and win. But God is with us. God is with us. And when we trust in Him, and when we say, I come at you in the name of the Lord, He will give us the victory. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you are a trustworthy God who never leaves us or forsakes us, who loves us with an unending love displayed for us in your Son, Jesus. Who, when we didn't have a chance, when we were still in our sin, when there was nothing we could do about it, came and died for us, that we could be free to grow into our calling. Amen.